And it is just the scientific part. It is also used at Google. Guido, the creator of the language, he also worked at Google for several years. Probably you have heard about this little robot that landed on Mars in 2012. Its software was written in C. However, the log files were tested with Python scripts. So this is a special hardware. Programming it in C, it was a better choice, of course. But as we will see, string processing in Python is very good. So they chose to work with text files with Python. Is it a popular language? Yes, it is. On this website, tob.com, they measure the popularity of programming languages. And Python has been in the top 10 for years. At the moment, it is at position 5. And if you consider that there are several hundred programming languages in the world, this is a very good position. Who are on the top? Java, C, and C++. They cannot be removed from the top three. After that comes C#. Microsoft is behind C# with millions of dollars. And then there is Python, which is a free and open source programming language. It is very popular, and its popularity is increasing every year. There are lots of books for Python. If you visit Amazon and you type Python programming, you will find more than 4,000 books. There are also big conferences about Python. The biggest one is called PyCon US. And if you visit this website, pyvideo.org, then the presentations of this conference are available. All of them were recorded, so you can watch them. And there are also tutorials for beginners, 3 or 4 long-hour tutorials for absolute beginners. Okay, a quiz. Who is the creator of Python? What's his name? Who remembers? Yes? Mm-hmm. And where is he from? Where was he born? In the Netherlands. Do you know the other guys? Larry Wall is the creator of the Perl language. It was very famous, this language, 20 years ago, but not anymore, not so famous. Matsumoto is the creator of the Ruby language, and Rasmus Lerdorf from Denmark, he is the creator of the PHP language. What is common of these four languages? All these languages are interpreted languages. Okay. Now, so much about the introduction and the history of the language. And now let's start using it. Who has his own laptop here? Okay, some people. Do you have Python 3 installed on it? Mm-hmm. So first I would show how to use Python on your own laptop. And then I will show how to use it on the machines that are here in the lab. It will be a bit different because the environment of these computers is different. So first, let's see how to use it on your own laptop. So if you want to use it at home, first you will have to install Python. Visit python.org, downloads, and download the latest version, 3.6. The installer will install it. At home, I suggest to put it in the root directory of C for instance, Python 3.6. You can also put it in program files. It doesn't matter. And the installer will put two directories in the path, Python 3.6 and the path of this scripts directory. Both of them are in the path. And then just start the terminal with the cmd command under Windows. And with Python, you can start the interpreter. Those guys who have their laptops, can you get to this point, everybody? Okay, fine. Now let's see how to use the computers of this lab. You will have to start the script, this one, edstn. Start it just once. Okay, and then this N drive will be mounted. Open it, and in the bat directory, there is start Python. Run it, and you will get a terminal. The problem with these machines is that Python was not in the path. So that's why we have to launch startpython.path, but which will put the directory of the Python installation in the path. And then you can start the Python interpreter. Start it, please. Okay, so everybody has that. I also suggest to open another terminal. So launch startpython.bat once again. And keep these two terminals open. In the top terminal, use the interpreter, the shell, and don't quit from this terminal. And in this other terminal, we will edit, write programs, and launch them. With the command npp, so we are in the mytemp directory. Here I suggest to create a subdirectory. For instance, Python lab, enter this directory and work in this directory. I will have several slides in PDF, so maybe it is better to create subdirectories for each slide, 0, 1, 0, 2, and so on. So let's create 0, 1. Enter 01, and we will work here. Now, let's write a simple script which prints hello world. With npp, you can start the text editor, Notepad++, and give the name of a Python script. For instance, hello.py. The extension of a Python program is .py. So npp hello.py. This file doesn't exist. Do we want to create it? Yes. And simply type here print hello world. Save it, come back to this second terminal, hello.py will be there, And if you use your own laptop, you can simply type the name of the program and launch it. Oh, it works here too. Okay. So it works here. So this is one way to use it. Just type the name of the script, or you can use the Python interpreter, python.exe, and pass the script to it as a parameter. It also works. The .exe is not necessary, you can remove it. But the simplest way is just to type.
I think it will run Python 2.
Maybe.
In the computer.
Okay. If you are in the shell, if you can see this prompt, it means that we are in the shell. You can quit from here if you press Ctrl Z and then enter. Okay, so if it's Python 2, it's an older version, we want to use Python 3. So instead of typing just the name of the script, please add Python also. Python and hello.py. And then the script will be launched with Python 3. So this is how you can start a program. Okay, so I suggest to keep these three windows open. Here you will use just the shell. Here you can edit your program, save it, and here you can launch your program and see the result. Now I go back to my own laptop. Okay, so let's use the Python interpreter. Is there anybody here who uses Linux at home? We are in Finland after all. Just one person? Two? Three. So under Linux, you can start the interpreter with Python 3, and then you get the shell. If you write a program in under Linux, you can pass to Python 3 as a parameter, and then it will be executed with Python 3. Okay. Now let's see the shell, how to work with the shell. So if you use your own laptop, also you can create a subdirectory. For instance, PyLab. Okay, it already exists. Create a subdirectory, for instance, 01, and work in this directory. Okay, so let's type Python, and we get to the shell. Always verify which version is started. If you can see Python 2, then you will know that there is some problem. You should see Python 3. And here, this is the prompt. It means that the interpreter is ready to get our commands. Now, let's create a variable, a equals 6. And then let's ask the value of a. It is 6. As you can see, there is no need to declare a variable, and you don't need to specify the type of a variable. So in C, you would have written int a equals 6, but here you don't need to specify the type. The interpreter will figure out the type automatically. You can also verify the type of a variable if you use the built-in function type. So what is the type of A? This is an integer. And when you assign a value to a variable, that variable will be created. And its type is determined automatically. And as I mentioned earlier, you can change the type of a variable. Let it be 3.14. You can use the up arrow to go back to previous comments. What is its type? This is a floating point number. Or you can also create a string. Now A is a string. Its type is str. There is a built-in function called len that will tell you the length of a string. It's the number of characters in a string. How to do concatenation? You use the plus sign. So we have two strings, and they will be concatenated together. Hello. Let's try to concatenate a string and a number. What happens? It doesn't work. We got a type error because we cannot concatenate a string and a number. So one solution is that we make a string from the 6, then they are concatenated. But there are also conversion functions. Let's see them. Str will convert lots of things to a string. For instance, a number, it will be converted to a string. So here we could also write, let's convert 6 to a string, and then the two strings can be concatenated. The inverse is the int function. You pass the string to it, for instance 42, and it will be converted to a number. And there is also float. You pass the string which contains a floating point number, and it will be converted to a floating point number. So these are the most used conversion functions. And they are built-in functions. It means that you can use them immediately. You don't need to import anything. Let's ask the value of the capital A. Here we get an error message. This symbol A is not defined. Another good point of Python is that when there is a problem, you get an informative error message. So name error is an exception, and here is the description. This symbol is unknown, not defined. However, if you assign a value to it, from that moment, this variable exists, and it contains this number. It's an integer. There is an operator called del, which will delete completely a variable. So if you type del A, then this symbol, capital A, will be removed completely from the symbol table. This variable is killed completely. So if you try to ask the value of A, it will be unknown. It was removed. Okay. So it was the shell. Of course, if you want to write a program that you want to execute several times, we won't type it in the shell. Because when we quit with Control Z, Enter, everything will be lost. So we only use this shell when we want to test something quickly. We want to try something, that's when we start this shell. If we want to write a program, then we will store it in a source file. And I will write again this Hello World program. Okay, so it will be print Hello World. Save it. The source code is here. I start another terminal and execute it with Python hello.py. So you can also store, you can also create programs, so-called scripts, in the case of interpreted languages, store them in a file and execute them using the interpreter. If you use Unix or Linux, in the first line, you need to specify the path of the interpreter. So under Linux, you should write /usr/bin/env/python3. And this is how you could execute it. Make it executable under